A Simple Thing, written by Iridan, read by Marianas. Chapter 7. Evarla. Very good, Fett praised. His blunt nails dug in, and the pricks of pain felt like a reward, tangled hot with the praise to spread down Din's back and glow ember bright in his chest. Fett's hand gentled. The shift in sensations made Din's nerves tense and twist. He wasn't sure if he wanted to pull away from Fett's hand or if he wanted to lean into it.
"Since you've never done this before," said Fett, "we should go over some rules first, all right?"
"There are rules?"
Din wasn't sure what rules there could possibly be. It seemed fairly straightforward to him. Fett wanted control. He wanted to hurt Din. Din wanted to... wanted to be hurt, he thought, wondering. "Or to prove that I can be hurt, that it won't undo me, that I'm still... that I can take it." If he was being honest with himself, Din wanted that strange, blunted place he'd found inside his head down in the kitchens, too. He wanted Fett to hurt him so badly that he didn't have to think. Din didn't know what rules went with that desire, except for, "Don't kill me," I guess. Fett nodded. "Not many rules," he allowed. "But some, yeah."
"Oh."
Din tried to stand so he and Fett could talk it out, but Fett's hand tugged sharply again, pain sparking, drawing a hiss out of Din. "No," said Fett. He said it with such casual confidence, such certainty that he'd be obeyed, that Din flinched like he'd been slapped. "I like you where you are," Fett continued. "Unless you say your word, you can stay like this." He did loosen his grip a little to allow Din to return to a more natural kneeling position, easing up on the bend in Din's spine. Din swallowed. He thought about arguing for his right to stand and look Fett in the face, but didn't see the point. Fett was strong. Fett could likely make Din kneel if he wanted. The thought thrilled through Din. He couldn't tell if it frightened him or made him want it even more. He sat back on his heels and looked up.
"Rules?" Din rasped.
"The first one is an unusual one, but I think since you've never tried this before, it's needed," Fett began. Din's back tensed. He already didn't like the sound of this. Fett noticed and huffed at him, still petting through Din's hair. "I'd like you to give what I ask of you a try," he said. "You don't have to enjoy it. No one enjoys everything. But if I ask, I'd like you to trust that I'm doing so for good reason. You will always be able to use your word to stop something if it's not what you want or you need. I can, too."
"You have a word?"
"Same word," said Fett. "And yeah, I'm part of this too, aren't I? Sometimes things get intense, even for me. My partner will want to go places that I can't go or won't go. The word protects us both."
"Oh."
Din hadn't considered that before. His already tenuous grasp on the situation slipped a little further. "Why would Fett want to stop? He wouldn't be the one getting..." Din didn't know. "Flogged or whipped or beaten?" "That work for you? Doing as I ask, unless you don't understand and need to ask a question?" Din hadn't been aware that this was a negotiation, but he nodded. "Yes," he said, remembering that Fett liked to hear his agreement. I'll try it. What you ask, I mean." His heart beat faster at the admission. It felt like he was giving Fett a Nemoidian account to do as he wanted. Din had never offered anyone that before. Even with the guild, he'd had jobs that he wouldn't take, things he wouldn't do. But he'd do anything Fett asked him to, at least once. The realization went down Din's back like the shock from touching a live wire. Din trusted Boba Fett. When did that happen? "Second, I'd like to keep this arrangement separate from whatever else you agree to do for me," said Fett. Din nodded, faster this time, relieved at that. Work was work. A duty and an honor, even if it was work done for a cartel boss. The only way to earn that Beskar in Fett's treasure room was to work for it. Din didn't want to confuse that with this, whatever this turned out to be. That means that if we're in the throne room and I tell you to do something you don't want to do, you can tell me to kark off, Jaren, Fett said. His voice was serious, and his eyes, when Din glanced up for a second, were serious too. His hand was heavy and still. I'm not interested in blind obedience. The outfit's too small for that. You're a capable warrior and you know what you're doing. On the job, you do what you think is best, not what you think I want. Understand? Yes, Din said. Good. Mouthing off to me in the throne room if I tell you to do something stupid won't earn you a punishment in here, and doing well for me in here won't earn any additional clink or credits out there. Din nodded again. His breath stuttered a little. Punishment? He asked. Fett's eyes danced wickedly. That's part of this for some, he said. Rewards for good behavior, obedience, surrender, and punishment for bad, usually bad manners. Din winced. He knew he could be blunt and straightforward. Bounty hunters didn't tend to make it very far by saying please. What's the punishment? Depends on the situation and the person, Fett said. He shrugged. We can sort that out when it comes up. You've been very good for me so far. So unless you haul off and punch me, we don't have to worry about that now. That made Din flush all over, a blush spilling down his throat, his chest. He couldn't stop himself from imagining what punishment looked like, what it would feel like. To Din's mortification, his cock gave an interested twitch. He dug his hands into his knees, knuckles creaking. No, he thought to himself, not right now. Needing punishment to focus his mind was one thing. Needing punishment to get some kind of gratification was another, and Din didn't want to think about that right now. He wanted to focus. He wanted to be good, as embarrassing as that thought was. As confusing as it was. Din didn't know how to be good for Fett. Fett rasped a laugh. Third, he said, like he wasn't turning Din's understanding of the galaxy inside out every time he spoke. Respect. Respect for me? That means good manners, Jaren. And respect for yourself, too. Din nodded along to that as well. It helped if he thought of Fett as an Allor. Not Din's Allor. He would only ever have the one, really. But another tribe's leader, one worthy of Din's respect and compliance. He didn't think he'd have too much trouble with that rule. Fourth, honesty, said Fett bluntly. Din blinked. Really? The look Fett shot him was fond but serious. Yes, really, he said. His voice was grave. I need to be honest with you, and you need to be honest with me. About everything, even if it's uncomfortable. Din shied away from that a little. I'm not dishonest, he said. He wasn't. He kept secrets, of course, but any Mandalorian kept the same. Din was Darmanda now, but he still had secrets he needed to keep. Grogu's whereabouts, the last place he'd seen the covert. Din couldn't, wouldn't, give those up. He trusted Fett, but some secrets aren't mine to give. Din didn't like the idea of honesty being a condition of whatever this was, a contract. Fett held up a hand. Neither am I, generally, he said. And I'm not saying that you need to tell me everything that comes up, especially outside of this room. I have my secrets, and I have no interest in yours. So what's the limit, then? When would I have to be honest with you? It wasn't that Din intended to lie to Fett. He never lied, not if he could help it, but he had been forced to skirt the truth before, to lie by choosing different words or by not speaking at all. Protecting the kid was more important than whatever else Din wanted. Even this. Especially this. Din had never needed pain to get his job done before. He might want it, but this wasn't something he needed. Not like Grogu needed a safe place to grow up, to learn to control his powers. "When we do this," said Fett, gesturing between them. "And I'd like to think that you'll be honest with me while we're working together, too, but I won't make that a rule. This is Tatooine. Sometimes honesty's not possible." That was true enough. Din had very few secrets on Tatooine. He wasn't part of Vanth's network, though he'd probably pitch in if Vanth asked, and the White Bantha hadn't told Din any secrets that he could carry off-planet. But anything could happen out on a job. Din could very well step into a town on Fett's orders and find a covert. Tatooine was exactly the sort of place an Allur looked for when moving a tribe somewhere new. Sharing the location of a covert outside the tribe was forbidden unless a life was at stake. "That's fair," said Din. "I can do that. Be honest, I mean." "That means telling me when you're uncomfortable," Fett reminded him. Din scowled. "Okay," he said, waving a hand to encompass the room, the entire situation. "I'm uncomfortable." Fett laughed. "Jate, like that. How are your injuries? Your arm? Your head?" Din snorted, but subsided when Fett tugged his hair in warning. "Behave," the tug said. Din held back his sharp retort. "I'm functional," Din said, which was more honest than fighting fit. "My head hurts when I don't sleep enough."
"Have you been sleeping enough?"
"Not in Mos Pelgo," Din admitted. "I slept okay here."
"Does your head hurt, then?"
Din shook his head. His scalp stung and prickled where Fett had dug his nails in, where he'd pulled at the hair, and his skin all over was sensitive and buzzing, but Din figured that was just because he hadn't ever been touched like this before.
"I need to hear you say it, Jaren," said Fett. A note of warning threaded through his voice.
"Behave," Din reminded himself.
"It doesn't hurt," he said. "There's pressure, a little discomfort, but no real pain."
That was as honest as he was capable of being.
"Arjate, that's all of my rules," Fett said.
He scratched Din's scalp lightly, as if to reward him for making it this far in the conversation without bolting. Din resisted the urge to show his teeth, feeling coddled and unsettled by it. "This was about pain, wasn't it? Do you have any rules you'd like to bring? Any boundaries?" Din was frankly surprised that he got to set rules at all. That seemed to run counter to the idea of giving control over to Fett, but he thought about it for a moment, chewing the inside of his cheek.
"I would prefer to keep this between us," he said.
The thought of word of this, of letting Fett see this weakness, getting back to someone like Kreese or Din's Allur, made his skin prickle, his ribs constrict.
"So, secrecy, I guess."
Fett nodded.
"Done," he agreed.
"That's about it," Din said. He racked his brain for anything else he could think of, but Fett's rule suited Din just fine, and he didn't know if he should ask for anything more, if there was anything he wanted to rule out entirely. Fett hummed and scratched Din's scalp again. "Don't pet me like a Masif pup," Din wanted to add, but that was just petty discomfort and flirting with being impolite.
"Fennec will probably find out," Fett warned. "She's got an eye for this sort of thing, but she won't talk about it with anyone."
"You trust her that much?"
Fett nodded. "I do."
Din accepted that. There was no way around it, really. Fett and Fennec were joined at the hip. Their time in the desert together had made them Talvore, bloodkin, whether or not either of them used that word between them.
"We can revisit these," Fett added, looking down at Din. "This isn't a conversation that happens once and never again. This sort of thing, it's like water in the desert, always shifting and moving."
That calmed Din's nerves a little, the idea that he could change this arrangement, that if he needed to, he could stop it or call it off entirely.
"Okay," Din said.
"Okay," Fett agreed.
And when he said it, Din knew that it was as binding as a sand vow. Din swallowed. He shifted on his knees a little, wincing at the stiffness.
"So what now?" he asked.
Fett chuckled.
"Mandoad," he said fondly.
Din didn't know what that was supposed to mean, besides the obvious, but he let the word wash over him and looked up through his lashes, carefully setting his gaze at the bridge of Fett's nose.
"Now we get started," said Fett.
Din shivered.
Started with what, he wanted to ask, but he was afraid that his voice would crack or waver, so he said nothing at all.
His compliance was rewarded with a gentle tug, Fett's fingers threading back through his hair.
"On your feet, Jarka."
The order was given softly, but it was still an order. Din climbed to his feet, wincing. As a younger warrior, he'd spent hours kneeling before the forge, watching the Allure work without feeling any stiffness or pain, but he'd landed hard on his knees a few times since then. It wasn't as easy climbing back up to his feet as it used to be. Fett let go of Din's hair and gestured over to the workbench.
"Come here," he said. "Let's get you familiar with some things, yeah?"
Mouth dry, Din went where he was pointed. Fett followed behind him and cleared off a few data pads and what looked like a kit of armor polish. He held up a finger.
"Wait here," he said.
Din did, soothing his own mounting nerves by looking out across the desert. The sands were wide and blue in the moonlight. The dunes had shifted, their spines broken and reforged by the sandstorm, and there were so many shapes in the stars that Din knew he wouldn't be able to identify them all. He tried, anyway. There was Clever Anuba with her pack, twisting by the eastern horizon. There was Bantha Mother guarding the moons. There were the raiders with their Gaderfi extended, long straight lines of stars that the Tuskens used to navigate in the desert. Fett returned, carrying a crate. He had shed the rest of his Beskar and now wore just his long black Tusken-style robe. He caught Din's eye and flashed him a toothy smile and, without comment, tipped the crate over on the workbench. Fett spread the crate's contents out, then raised a scarred eyebrow. Din hardly knew where to look at first. Fett had at least half a dozen floggers in different sizes and configurations, some with many tails and others with just one or two, with thick tails and thin tails, and even one with tails that had been braided. Fett had rods and canes, a short bit of metal that had prods at the end like a bantha staff used to move livestock across the sands, and a variety of what looked like paddles, each with a slightly different shape and texture. Some looked so fearsome Din was half afraid they'd bite into him from where they lay on the table. Fett had restraints, too. Matte black mag cuffs and thick padded gloves, a long coil of soft-looking braided rope, and another of even softer material. When Din reached out and touched it, the smooth slide of it through his fingers made heat rise in his belly and spread smoldering to his fingers and toes.
"Wishok silk," Fett supplied, watching Din's face.
Din tried not to color. He wondered how much of himself Fett was able to read. He put down the coil of Wishok silk and raised an eyebrow, aiming for cool indifference. His cock twitched again, almost certainly obvious through the thin layer of his underclothes, betraying him.
"Wishok silk isn't cheap," Din said.
To harvest Wishok silk, you had to actually brave facing a Wishok. Din personally would rather square off against a Dark Trooper. He'd seen Wishoks kill Wookiees. Fett shrugged.
"It's worth the cost to me," he said. "Cheap equipment can fail or hurt. I know that Wishok silk won't. It's worth it for me to know that if I use that, it won't snap on me or cause any pain that I don't want it to cause."
Din blinked.
That was true, of course. A cheap, Black Sun-made Blestar pistol cost a third of the credits that a real Westar 20 did, but Black Sun's version was known for blowing up just as often as it actually worked. A real Westar never failed and was worth the hut's ransom it cost to get one. Din had never thought to apply the same logic to anything outside of a weapon, though. But it made sense, and the context, Fett's obvious care, helped settle more of the apprehension in Din's chest, flattening the tangled threads of wary fear into flickering strands of interest and excitement. Wishok silk was strong. It had to be to support the weight of a Wishok and her brood, to fully ensnare a Wishok's prey. Some of the creatures Wishoks hunted were enormous.
I wouldn't be able to get out of it if Fett used it to tie me up, Din thought. His mouth dried out and his heart kicked against his ribs. He couldn't tell if he was afraid of the thought or excited by it. No matter how Din would struggle, he wouldn't be able to snap Wishok's silk. He'd be vulnerable, at Fett's mercy. He wouldn't even have to fight it, because he knew without trying he'd be trapped. Din could just stop fighting, and let whatever Fett was going to do to him happen. Din took a shuddering breath and made himself look away. He couldn't look at Fett. Fett had already seen too much. So he looked out at the desert instead. Tatooine's moons were very rarely on the same phase. Gomrasan, the largest of the three, was nearly entirely dark tonight, only sliver of her visible in the sky, while Chinini, the smallest, was full. Gormessa, the middle moon, was waning, turning her face away from the planet, and wouldn't be full again for cycles and cycles. The Tusken celebrated the end of one year when the moons were all dark together, and the dawn of the next year when the moons began to return. Din made himself watch the moons for several seconds, wrestling with his breath, his heartbeat. He was more aware of his near-nakedness than ever. He was sure that Fett could see Din's pulse jumping in his neck, could see the sweat beating at Din's temples and collarbones. Focus, Mandalorian. Fett thought that Din was strong enough to handle this. Din was not going to panic like frightened Bantha Calf and make a break for the desert. He took his eyes off the distant moons and made himself look at the rest of Fett's equipment. One of the floggers, a simple one with a wrapped leather handle and a collection of short leather tails, caught his eye. It didn't look so very fearsome. Din had never been whipped or flogged before, since he was never out without his armor, and punishment for mischief in the covert had usually just been fresher duty. But he knew that some of Fett's floggers, with their thick tails and textured ridges, would hurt. That's the point, isn't it? But the one Din's gaze had settled on didn't look like it would hurt quite so badly. He had no frame of reference, but he was familiar enough with pain that he could make an educated guess. This particular flogger would leave marks, probably, would sting and redden, but Din doubted that they'd even bruise that much, not even with Fett swinging it. Din looked at Fett questioningly, and Fett nodded. Under Fett's watchful eye, Din slowly reached out and touched it. Nothing happened. Of course nothing happened, Din scolded himself, embarrassment flushing his ears red. It's not alive. It's just a tool. That's all. Din curled his fingers around the handle. The leather was smooth and well-worn, buffed to a soft shine with use. Din made himself pick it up and examine it like he would any weapon. The weight was good. Heavier than Din expected, but light enough to swing with ease. The tails hummed as they met in the air. He put the flogger back down and looked at Fett. Fett looked back steadily. Din swallowed. "Do people..." he began, mouth dry. He looked back down at the assortment of tools and made himself run his fingers over the edge of a deceptively thin reed cane. A very dim, very old memory sparked. Tall grass, cool wind, a sky as gray as Beskar. Reeds, nipping at his bare feet, his ankles, slapping against his knees. Thin, almost bloodless cuts that were soothed by a soft touch. He pulled his hand away. "Do people really want all of this?" he asked. He forced himself to keep breathing evenly, wrangling his pulse under control. Fett shrugged. "Some," he allowed. "But not everybody likes everything, or even most things. Some just want the flogger, some want to be cut, some want to be tied up, some will try anything once. Everyone is different." Din eyed the prod. He could almost taste the burnt carbon on the back of his tongue. He'd been electrocuted on the job a few too many times to even imagine enjoying being shocked or prodded like a bantha. Fett caught his expression and chuckled. "Not everyone likes that," he said. "It's an acquired taste." "I'd rather not acquire it," Din muttered. Fett laughed again. "Fair enough," he said agreeably, and swept the prod off the table and back into its box. "Anything else you want to roll out?" Din touched the reed cane again and chewed on the inside of his cheek. The supple edge of it sparked that memory again, dimmer than before, like touching a very old scar. He shook his head. "No," Din said quietly. The cane didn't frighten him necessarily, but it did make his heart beat faster, made trepidation swell in his chest. The cane would hurt. It would raise welts on his back, on his legs. He didn't know how he knew that Fett would use it on his legs if Din asked, but he knew. On his upper thighs, on the swell of his ass. He bit his lip harder. The cane might even cut if Fett swung hard enough. That's too much, Din told himself. Too much. I'd shown him too much weakness, too much need.
Not right now, anyway, Din said.
Fett nodded.
Okay, he said. Then I'd like to remind you of the first rule.
Din looked at him out of the corner of his eye.
I want you to give it all a try. Not all at once, Fett added, watching Din take a startled step back. His lips twitched. Din scowled at him, feeling needled. But I would like you to trust my judgment and give something a try if I ask you to. If you don't like it, or if it's too much, we can stop and reevaluate. If you really don't like it, it'll go back in the bin. Yeah?
Even the restraints? Din asked.
The cuffs and ropes made his chest tight. He wanted to touch the Wishok silk again, its smoothness, its deceptive strength. A muscle in his neck jumped. Fett didn't smile exactly, but his eyes glittered.
Even those, he said. Eventually. No need to rush into it all at once, yeah? Ne pas nous pirur. We can start small.
The rough peaks of Mandalorian settled Din some. Even though Din didn't understand, he could sense the intention behind the words. Fett was using it to highlight their commonality, to group them together as Mandalorians. Din was in the presence of an ally. Not a warrior of Din's own tribe, but close enough. As close as Din was ever going to find out in the galaxy again.
Define small, Din said, but his heart had calmed a little.
Fett did smile this time, like a Nexu with a meal at the end of its claws.
Go stand against the wall, he said.
Din hesitated, wide-eyed.
Fett just looked at him.
Din remembered the rules. Do as I ask, unless you don't understand. He did understand, this time. Fett was going to show Din something. It was going to hurt. The tangle of fear and anticipation was back. It thrummed in Din's ribcage, crowded all other thoughts out of his head. Din went and stood against the wall. The only wall in Fett's room was the pillar in the center, the one that housed the lift and the stairs and held up the roof. It was solid and sturdy, made of a single block of red-banded sandstone. Its surface was rough-textured, pocked by wind and sand and time. Din wondered what it would feel like if he touched it. He looked back at Fett.
Hands on the wall, Fett said.
A darker, richer note had entered his voice.
Feet apart. Careful not to lock your knees.
Warily, Din did as he was told. The stone was rough underneath his palms, the texture sparking the nerves in his hands as he shifted into a position he could endure for a while, back straight, feet planted, hands braced. It wasn't uncomfortable, exactly. Din had once spent 2 days wedged into a tree trunk on Merkur, 20 feet off the ground, while a pack of Vornskir had circled hungrily beneath him, leaping up at the tree to bite at his heels. Din had crossed into their territory accidentally while hunting a smuggler who'd thought she could pull the bantha fur over Crimson Dawn's eyes. If Din could endure that, he could endure this easily. Indefinitely. This was nothing.
The Vornskir weren't trying to hit me, though. They just wanted a meal, same as any beast. Fett wanted something more. Control.
Din turned his head to catch sight of Fett. Fett saw and tutted gently.
Don't turn around, he said. It would be a shame to catch that face of yours by accident, yeah?
Din blushed all the way down to his chest and glared. He knew that he wasn't anything particularly special to look at, especially without his Beskar. Din wasn't beautiful like Nora, or even particularly handsome like Vanth was. Without his armor on, Din was just some human. Just another scarred and graying man on a planet full of scarred and graying men. If Din were to walk out in the streets of Mos Eisley without his Beskar on, he'd fade into the crowd like a dust cloud getting swallowed by a sandstorm.
You don't need to tease me, Din said, tone sharper than he'd meant it to be.
Fett's gaze, bizarrely, softened.
I wasn't, he said, and his rough voice was so sincere that Din actually met his eyes for once, shocked into believing him.
Discomfort clawed at his throat. He didn't know what to do with that, with sincerity, even less than he knew how to handle mockery.
This is not a situation where I will mock or belittle you, Jaren, Fett said. My rules aren't just for you. You promised me honesty, I promised the same. I will not lie to you, not like this.
Oh, Din said. He broke eye contact, unable to bear it, the truth shining like Beskar in Fett's dark eyes.
Shame crept in, replacing the hot prickle of defensiveness that had reared up inside his chest.
Sorry.
Fett just looked at him.
This is new, he said. Don't worry about it.
He gave Din a crooked smile, and Din focused on the upturned corner of Fett's mouth, which was safer to look at than Fett's eyes.
Okay, Din said.
Fett hummed. Now, he said, turn around. Din didn't argue this time. He turned back to the wall and focused on the texture, on the feel of his body as it settled back into position. Back straight, feet apart, knees braced but not locked. He could follow orders, even if he'd fallen out of practice. Din had been his covert's hunter for so long that he hadn't needed to follow anyone's orders. His life had been his own, entirely solitary except for a handful of nights among the tribe at a time, between jobs.
But I am a good warrior, Din reminded himself.
He knew how to listen, to obey an allure, even if the allure wasn't his own. He'd prove it.
Orijate, said Fett, softly.
Din could hear him moving in the room, his footfall, the sound of tools being moved around on the table. Din wanted to look, but didn't. His other senses, his hearing, the bone-deep awareness of another trained warrior moving behind Din's back, expanded.
We'll start small, Fett continued.
The hairs on the back of Din's neck stirred. Breeze drifted in from the high desert and made Fett's curtains move. The shadows twisting on the wall made Din flinch in expectation.
Let's try 10 strikes, Fett suggested, in a tone that told Din that Fett wasn't actually suggesting anything.
You don't have to count them. This time. All you have to do is stay still and keep your position.
If you move, I stop and start over.
Tellybuck? Din had no idea what Tellybuck meant. He'd never been asked questions in Mandalorian as a child. But he nodded anyway, then remembered that Fett liked to hear Din's agreement, not just see it.
All right, Din said.
Apprehension and excitement expanded in his belly. His heart rate picked up again, despite his steady battle breaths. He wanted to curl his fingers into the wall, wanted to find anything that he could grip or cling to. But he didn't want Fett to stop before he'd even started. Behind Din, something moved in displaced air. Whatever it was thrummed instead of whistled, whatever it was heavier than Din had expected. Din's fingers started to shake. Anticipation and dread warred inside him. He pressed his hands against the wall to hide their shaking, hard, and closed his eyes. That helped. Closing his eyes made Din's other senses sharpen further. He heard the rustle of Fett's robes as Fett padded closer. He smelled the leather in the air.
Take a moment, Fett advised, very close behind Din now.
Something deceptively soft touched the meat of Din's left shoulder. He startled. A flogger, he realized. Not the one Din had touched, but one of the bigger ones. Din could feel at least 3 separate tails. They brushed along one of his scars, light as feathers, light as air. Din tried not to twitch away. Anticipation faltered in his belly, lost some ground to dread. Fett put a steadying hand on Din's hip. His hand was still bare, and the heat of it was like a brand. Din tried not to shy away from that either, but he didn't really have to bother. There was nowhere for Din to go, not without breaking his position against the wall. No one had touched him like that in years, skin to skin.
Take a deep breath, Fett advised.
The tails almost tickled where they brushed against Din's bare skin, which was absurd. The point of them was to hurt.
Tell me your word one more time.
Gev, Din said, teeth gritted. The weight was unbearable. His nerves were singing, and Fett hadn't even struck him yet. His entire body was torn between the desire to bolt and the desire to fight.
Good, said Fett.
He let go of Din's hip.
10 strikes. Then we'll go from there.
The tails brushing Din's shoulder fell away too. His awareness of the room behind him shifted. He felt Fett move, heard the tails sing through the air, and flinched. But Fett didn't hit him, not yet.
He swung the flogger a few times, moving air but not touching Din.
What's he doing? Din thought, distracted.
He wanted to turn around and look, but forced himself to hold as still as he could.
Just testing it, or...
And then Fett did hit him, the tails thrumming as Fett swung, and every thought Din had scattered like sand before the wind. Fett's first blow caught Din across the meat of his shoulders. The tails hit more or less altogether and knocked a shout from Din's chest before he could swallow it back. His spine locked and his hands slipped on the wall. It took all of his willpower to keep from leaping out of the way.
"Hands, Jaren," said Fett.
Din gritted his teeth. His shoulder stung, smarted. The threat, the promise, Din thought, open-mouthed, of deeper pain hung in the air. He rolled his shoulders and shook his head, trying to clear it of noise. To remember the point of all this.
"I can bind them if you need me to."
Din straightened his arms again and put his hands back in their original position on the wall. His heart hammered.
"I can do this," he told himself, but he knew, even before he heard the tails of the flogger hissing through the air again, that it was going to be harder to stand than Din had first thought.
Fett's second strike was just as powerful as his first, forcing the stinging surface pain deeper, reaching for the muscles of Din's back. His third came before Din had time to draw a breath. Din had to bite back another shout. His hands slipped again, fingers scraping on the stone as Din fought between the instinct to bow his head and endure, and his instinct to bolt straight for the open sky.
"Hands," Fett commanded, his voice pitched like an Alor barking orders to a soldier.
Din snarled under his breath and forced his body to obey. He'd scraped his fingertips raw, and his flanks were twitching, shuddering. His breath came in loud gasps.
"He's only hit me 3 times, Din thought.
He pushed his weight down onto his heels, shifting some strain off his arms.
"Only 3, he said. He said at least 10.
"Sorry," Din panted. He screwed his eyes shut and counted backwards from 10. It was the anticipation that was carking around with his head. The expectation. A punch. Din could stand up and take a punch. He could usually see a punch coming. But this was different. This was something that Din wanted so badly he felt on fire with it. It burned in him. Fett's tone softened.
"Don't be sorry," he said. "Just breathe. This is new for you. Your body is afraid."
It wasn't Din's body that was afraid, but he appreciated the sentiment. Din's body was hungry. His body was lit up like a star. It was Din's mind that was afraid. His spirit. Whatever it was that had broken in Din when he'd broken the creed.
"But I want this."
Din took another breath, shuddering, deep, and settled his weight again. He looked at his hands, where they pressed against the sandstone. He flexed his shoulders. Din could almost taste how good it would feel when the bruises were healing. Fett would press the bruises deep, all the way down to Din's bones, and Din would get to remember them every time he moved. Walking through a spear kata with that kind of bruising riding on his shoulders would have Din honed sharper than the edge of a sword.
"But I have to trust Fett. I have to let him put them there."
"I can do better," Din said quietly. Fett made a rough sound. "Don't think about doing better," he said. "Just think about your hands, your feet. Think about keeping them where they are. Focus on that. The rest will fall into place." He sounded so confident that Din couldn't help but believe him, at least a little. Din looked at his hands. He nodded. "Ready?"
"Ready," Din said hoarsely.
"From 1 again, then," said Fett, and he struck before Din could say anything else. He hit lower, this time, beneath Din's shoulder blades, and pain leapt like a bolt of lightning up Din's spine, spread out over his ribs. Din's fingers twitched.
"Don't move," he told himself.
Fett struck Din again, then again, and again. The pain was pooling together now, spreading out from his shoulders and his back, up his neck, through his chest, and down to his hips. When Fett struck him a 4th time, Din groaned.
"Don't move," he told himself. "Don't move, don't move." He weathered another 4 strikes, these all laid neatly over his shoulders, and Din abruptly realized that he wasn't cold anymore. His palms were slick and sweaty.
"Don't move."
Fett hit him again.
"Don't move."
The 10th blow.
"Very good," said Fett,
much nearer than Din had expected him to be, and Din had to swallow a cry of relief. Leather brushed the back of one of his legs.
"Still all right?"
It took Din a moment to find his words again. He didn't know how to describe how he felt. His back was on fire, a smooth sheet of pain that throbbed in time with his heart. His breath was loud and ragged.
"Fine," Din panted, pushing the word out.
He kept his hands on the wall. He didn't know if they were finished yet. Didn't know if he wanted to be finished yet.
"More, then?"
"Yes," Din almost said. But he remembered Fett's hand in his hair, remembered the naked black hole hunger in his eyes.
Din swallowed.
"If you..." he began hesitantly.
"If you want to."
Fett chuckled. The sound rolled through Din more intimately than any touch.
"Jate," he praised. "You are quick, aren't you?"
It wasn't a question, so Din didn't bother with an answer. He looked at his hands again. His fingertips were red and raw.
"Don't move," he thought, as anticipation swelled in his chest again,
the leather at his leg disappearing.
"Don't move. Don't."
And the flogger came down, scattering Din's thoughts like stars through the sky. He didn't bother trying to keep count of Fett's blows this time. Din thought about it, but every time he tried to pull a thought together, the flogger came down and all his thoughts fled. It was all he could do to stand up straight, to keep his hands on the wall like he'd been told, and to keep the most embarrassing sounds locked up at the base of his throat. Everything else fell away. Even the pain transformed. Instead of a throb or a sting, it became something else. A tide or a current in the air. A rushing noise that Din heard with his jaw and his ribs, with the little bones in his hands. Each blow felt like a century of wind wearing down a rock face, or like a hammer coming down on hot Beskar. Blunt and purifying. Fett knocked the ever-present anxiety right out of Din's head between one blow and the next. The worry over the kid, gone. Din's prickling unease around Kryze and her Talvode, gone too. Even most of his shame, the awful pit in his stomach that had opened when he'd broken the creed on Morak. Gone. Hammered out. Closed over. It would come back, Din knew. Even as lost to the rushing wind in his ears as he was, he knew. But here, now, he didn't have to worry about it. He didn't even have to feel it. All he had to do was stand. Was let pain fill every space and hollow of his body, like a river filling a canyon, carving its path through him, and doing that grew easier and easier with every blow. Din didn't even realize that Fett had stopped until several seconds after he was done. The pain was everywhere and overwhelming. Fett had found a rhythm that matched Din's breathing, so each breath felt like another blow all on its own. But Fett did stop, eventually. Din became aware of it by degrees. Fett was there, at his side, pressing a hand into Din's hip. And Fett was speaking, but Din couldn't hear him properly. Another hand closed around one of Din's wrists and applied gentle pressure. Din resisted. Fett had told him not to move.
"Jarika," said Fett.
Din turned to look at him and found that Fett was blurred. He blinked to clear his eyes. Fett tugged at his wrist a little harder. Din considered resisting more, but decided against it. Maybe Fett had changed his mind. Din let Fett pry his hands off the wall, let Fett gently break Din's planted stance. As soon as he wasn't rooted anymore, Din wobbled, faint alarm wriggling its way up to slip through the thunderbeat of pain in his back. But Fett was there like a mountain, and Din settled again. Fett wouldn't let Din fall. Din's awareness blunted out again. He was vaguely aware of being ushered across the room, in the way that Din was always at least vaguely aware of most things moving around him. He thought that he might have been made to sit down. He wobbled again and reached out, gripping the edge of the table to keep himself from toppling over. Where did Fett go? He managed to think. Something astringent and blue tickled his nose. Bacta, he thought. Fett came back and was still speaking to him. Had he stopped? Had he been speaking the whole time? In low, praising tones. Din let the words wash over him. The warm tone made Din glow. He felt hands along his back, a spreading coolness down his spine, his shoulder, his fingertips, even his still bruised leg. Bacta, he thought again, and then he thought, huh, forgot about my leg. Then there was pressure against his right side, warmth at his shoulder, and his arm and his hip and his leg down to his knee. A new smell. Musk and Beskar. Fett. Din tipped over and jammed his face against Fett's shoulder. Fett was still wearing his loose robe. Din grunted, displeased. He wanted skin. He thought that Fett might have laughed at him. There was a hand in his hair, smoothing down Din's sweaty curls. Still with me, Jerrica? Fett asked. His hand slowed. Din made a disgruntled sound in the back of his throat and pressed closer. Fett sighed and let him. His body was so warm it dazed Din almost more than being struck had. Din's body knew how to parse pain, but touching another person like this was completely alien. Not bad, though. Different and overwhelming and new. Somehow just as raw as the bruising skin on Din's back. But not bad. Fett returned to running his hand through Din's hair, fingers a gentle pressure against Din's head. It was comforting. Safe. Udesi, Fett rumbled. Garmuritish. Din didn't have to speak Mandalorian to know that Fett was talking nonsense, was saying the sort of meaningless babble one used to soothe an injured animal or a frightened child, but he didn't mind that either. Din tried to fit the sharp edges of Mandalorian in his mouth. Vorentia, he wanted to say, but he couldn't make his tongue work, so he offered Fett a wordless hum and pushed his face deeper into Fett's shoulder. The hand in his hair kept moving. Time faded in and out, as did Din's awareness. He was aware of everything, the pain still radiating, forged iron hot from his shoulders and back, Fett's blunt fingernails, the sweat cooling down his ribs. And he was aware of nothing at the same time. The only sounds he could hear were Fett's deep words and a rush between Din's ears, like the wind pushing against him as he flew the familiar loops and patterns of the Way of the Rising Phoenix. It didn't last, of course. Gradually, sensation returned and stuck. The faded cramp in Din's calves from holding himself up against the wall, the tension in his bad arm strained by how tightly he was gripping the edge of Fett's work table. A pleasant tingling along the back of his neck where Fett's fingers were tracing circles through his hair. Reluctantly, Din peeled his forehead off Fett's shoulder and made himself sit up. He groaned. Shifting made his back pulse, a dull red throb spreading from shoulder to shoulder. Din bit back a cry and made himself push through it. He looked at Fett out of the corner of his eye. Even though Din had pulled his head away, he and Fett were still pressed against each other, rib to hip. Din knew he should move away, should let Fett get on with his night, but he couldn't quite manage to sit up on his own yet. The warmth of Fett's body, even clothed, was soothing to Din's own aches. Fett smiled a little, eyes turned up at the corners. "Back with me?" he said. Din flushed a little. "Yeah," he said. His own voice was hoarse. He swallowed. His mouth was dry, and he felt sticky all over, both with drying sweat and back to gel. That gentle rushing sound still hummed somewhere in the back of his head. Fett's hand stopped moving. He cupped the back of Din's head and gently but firmly tilted Din's head back, then forward, and back again. Din let him, eyes lidding in easy acceptance. "How do you feel?" Fett asked.
Like I just got the cark beaten out of me, said Din thickly, his mouth moving before his mind could catch up. A thread of panic flickered, cutting through the gauzy calm that had settled over his thoughts like a layer of sand. But Fett only chuckled. You're Mandalorian, he said. Is that good? Din thought about it for a second. Yes, he admitted. He hurt all over. But it was a good, clean hurt, like a spar won or a battle survived. A victory. Fett hummed. You want to go back under? He asked. Or do you want to go sleep? You look like you need it. This time it was a faint irritation that made it through Din's hazy thoughts. He made himself scowl, even though his mouth still felt soft. I'm fine, he said, still thick. Water? Din nodded against Fett's hand. Fett leaned away, breaking the contact between them. Din felt utterly bereft, skin going cold, and then felt foolish for being so affected, and came back with a canteen of water. If he noticed Din struggling with his sudden distress, he didn't say anything, but he did tug the curls at the back of Din's neck gently and press his leg against Din's. Din took the canteen and drank so that he didn't have to look at Fett and feel beaten raw all over again. By the time he'd emptied the canteen, Din had pulled himself mostly up and out of the windy, blissful place Fett had put him in. He was tired, the day dragging at him, the weight of all that had happened sunk into his muscles as deep as the bruises. Well? Fett prompted. Din didn't know what Fett had meant by going under, but he was too tired to try and parse it out. I could sleep, he rasped. He could sleep for years, it felt like. Fett nodded. Fair enough, he said. I'd like to check in with you tomorrow, if you're all right with it. Din's brow furrowed. Kirk, I'm slow. Check in? Yeah, make sure you're still feeling all right about all this. Fett said patiently. His eyes searched Din's face. Something he saw there amused him. He got that smile in his eyes again, even if his mouth didn't follow. Oh, Din thought about it. He didn't have any reason to argue against it, not really. He wasn't sure what checking in would entail, but Din couldn't imagine that it would leave him more vulnerable than what had already happened. He blinked. Okay. Fett huffed, amusement deepening. Come on, then. Up you get. Let's get you to your own bed, Jerrica. Din frowned. He didn't particularly feel like moving. Even sitting up had sent pain crashing through him. Standing, gathering all of his Beskar, and making it to the lift would be insurmountable. Don't look at me like that, said Fett. He was laughing now, which Din would have bristled over if he'd been sharper, more alert. As it was, he resisted the urge to slouch over and sprawl over Fett's work table like a petulant apprentice. I'll help, Fett said gently. Din sighed. All right, I get it, he grumbled. With Fett's bulk supporting him, Din managed to lever himself to his feet. He hissed. Don't rush it, said Fett, standing too. He didn't have to hold Din to his feet or anything as embarrassing as that, but he kept a hand hovering just over the small of Din's back to catch him if Din needed it. Deep breath. Din recognized the order and did as he was told, pulling in a deep breath. He regretted it almost immediately. Even his lungs felt bruised, swollen and sore and prickly hot. His knees shook. Again, Fett said. Din glared at him. He had to know that it hurt, but still obeyed. The second breath hurt just as much as the first, but the third and the fourth evened out, the pain spreading out, softening. Better? Fett asked. Din nodded. The Bacta would help, he knew. When he woke in the morning, Din knew that the bruises across his back would be well and truly set, the pain deep but even. You can walk all right? Din took a few careful steps away from the workbench. He couldn't break out into a sprint unless he really had to. Even thinking about it made his still sore leg tremble. But Fett had kept most of his blows to Din's shoulders and upper back, Din could stand fine and walk with only some discomfort.
Don't think I'm going to enjoy bending down, though, Din thought.
He grimaced and did it anyway, reaching for his helmet, which sat atop its little pile of Beskar, and watched Din with its impassive face.
Easy, Fett warned, catching Din around the middle.
Din twitched, startled, but let Fett pull him back upright.
I'll get your armor, Fett said. You don't need to push yourself.
It's armor, Din said. I can carry it.
You don't have to.
Fett's tone was firm enough that Din knew by now that what Fett meant was that he wouldn't let Din try to carry it all to the lift and into Din's room. Din thought that he'd probably be offended once he'd slept a little. He didn't need to be coddled. But now he was tired, and the deep, transformative pain Fett had pushed into Din's shoulders was just a burning ache, and Fett's arm was still wrapped around Din's middle, warm against the soft skin of his stomach. Din sighed.
Fine, he said.
Jate, Fett said,
pleasure a deep rumble that made Din's skin prickle with pride.
I will take care of it, Orihat.
Din had only ever left his armor with Kara and Morak, but he could safely say now that he had trusted Fett more than he had ever trusted any being outside of his tribe. The thought was enormous and frightening. Din shied away from it.
I believe you, Din muttered, taking a careful step towards the lift.
Exhaustion made him honest.
And I know where you sleep.
Fett barked a startled laugh and kept lending Din his support as they made their way to the lift. As they stepped inside, Din let himself lean into Fett's touch, slumping against Fett's side. It was easy to let Fett's warmth lull him half asleep before the lift had even shuddered to a stop two floors down. Din managed to keep himself from tucking his nose back into the crook of Fett's shoulder, but he leaned close enough that he caught the scent again, sweat and Beskar and Cedru wood, and let Fett gently manhandle him out of the lift and towards the room's single bed. Fett nudged him. Din hit a jaw-cracking yawn. Fett gave a gentle push and Din tipped forward into the bed. He didn't bother trying to catch himself and instead flopped gracelessly and buried his face into the pillow. Fett's hand skimmed down the edge of Din's shoulders, tracing the outside of the bruises that were beginning to form.
Jerrica, said Fett.
Din turned his head enough to look at Fett out of one eye. He managed a questioning noise.
Orijate, Fett said.
His voice was as warm as his hands had been. Din smiled, the expression caught on his pillow.
You did very well.
It was good, Din admitted quietly. I liked it.
Fett hummed, his hand moving up to tug Din's curls again. He seemed to like doing that. Din didn't mind it.
Sure, said Fett fondly. Odessia?
Din frowned. That had sounded like a question, but he didn't understand. He was just out of sorts enough to say, I don't speak Mandalorian, you know, though his pillow muffled most of the words. Fett's hand stilled. Din frowned harder. He felt a vague sense of shame.
I didn't realize, Fett finally said.
There was a note in his voice that Din wanted to hide from.
They didn't teach us when I was found, Din tried to explain, struggling to sit up.
Fett had spoken a lot of Mandalorian around Din. He was probably realizing now that Din had just nodded along to avoid an uncomfortable conversation.
There wasn't time, and after it, it wasn't safe.
Hey, relax, said Fett, softening his tone.
I understand. Don't worry about it, Jaren. I was just telling you to rest. Udesi, that's what it means. Rest, be easy.
Din blinked.
Udesi, he murmured, tasting the word.
It sounded gentle, a sound that rose to a slope in the middle and dropped off on either side.
Good, said Fett.
Din's chest warmed. He was going to have to look at that later, the effect that Fett's praise was having on him. It was dangerous.
Udesi.
Fett started rubbing smooth circles against the back of Din's neck again, like he could patiently buff out the pain Din carried there, given enough time.
Be easy, Din told himself, committing the word to memory. He closed his eyes. Be easy.
He slipped quietly into sleep with Fett's hand still in his hair and dreamed about a field of tall grass. When Din woke up, he stretched without thinking about it, blurry with sleep, and then nearly fell off the bed when pain erupted behind his eyelids and sent him scrambling away, momentarily bewildered. Then the pain hit him, and he realized that he couldn't get away from it. Din flopped back down, tucking his face away, and let himself groan. It wasn't agony, like being burned or stabbed, but it wasn't exactly a stubbed toe, either. It was a red roar, hot and sparkling. Whenever Din twitched or even breathed, the pain swelled and crowded to the front of his thoughts. The Bacta had helped, though. Din could move, more or less. His shoulders protested when he forced himself to roll over onto his side and sit up. But he could raise his arms, could breathe, could probably even stand if he wanted to, though he didn't particularly want to.
That was different, Din thought to himself, squinting around his room.
Sunlight glinted off the thick band of Umbaran glass separating him from the desert. He hadn't slept quite so late this time around. It wasn't yet mid-morning, but he'd managed at least a few hours of sleep. Din had dreamed about something, but he couldn't remember what it was now. He rolled his shoulders experimentally and hissed. I won't be leaning against anything today, he thought. Din made himself stand and lurch gracelessly towards the fresher. Once he'd sonicked off and used the sink to work the sweat out of his hair, Din's thoughts were clearer. He remembered most of what had happened up in Fett's rooms. Hell's all he had to do was flex his shoulders and be reminded. He could hear the flogger sing through the air, clear as struck Beskar. Speaking of Beskar, Fett had kept his word and had brought Din's armor down. It bothered Din a little that he didn't remember Fett bringing it at all. He had no memory of anything between falling into bed and waking up, but it was really just another sign that Din's trust in Fett wasn't misplaced. He had me at his mercy, Din thought. Fett could probably have gotten Din to do anything. He could have done anything, and Din probably would have let him. That was a terrifying thought. Din shied away from it, rolling his shoulders a little to spark enough warm pain to chase it away. He would have to confront it sooner or later, but he wanted to bask in the bruising for a while. He turned sideways so he could look at his back in the mirror. Din caught sight of the bruising and his eyebrows shot up. Fett had done a thorough job. A thick, solid bruise stretched from shoulder to shoulder, turned blue and purple by the Bacta. The edges were green and shot through with darker bursts of broken blood vessels. The bruising ended before the bottom of Din's ribcage, but the ache of it went all the way down his spine. He ran his fingers over the edge of his right shoulder and hissed. Even that feather-like touch made his nerves crackle. A faint sensation stirred in his belly. Din tamped it down before he had to make another trip into the sonic. No, he told himself, reaching for the discipline he'd managed to find last night, the inner strength that had let him stand upright under the flogger. Not right now, anyway. He didn't want to think about that, either, about pleasure, gratification. He wanted to work. He wanted to feel the bruises underneath his armor all day, and get paid for bringing Vanth from Mos Pelgo, and see what else he could do for Fett. He didn't want to think. After the sonic, Din began the slow, stiff process of finding clothes, getting his kuta on and adding his armor back one piece at a time. He had more bruises and scrapes than just the massive network of bruises over his back. Fett had apparently slathered Bacta everywhere, even over Din's fingertips, so he only had faint sore spots where he scraped his fingers against the stone, but he had bruises around his knees where he'd gripped them too tight, too. Din covered it all up, straightening out his kuta and carefully, painstakingly fixing his armor on. The good thing about Beskar gum was that it was made to keep a warrior upright. It didn't have any give to it, the overlapping plates of his cuirass locking together while Din was standing. The bad thing about it was that it was heavy. Din felt every pound of his cuirass and his pauldrons, their weight snagging and pulling at his attention every time he shifted. It wasn't even just that the cuirass pressed against his bruises. The weight of Din's full basque pulled even at his legs, which were still sore from holding his position against the wall for so long. Well, he thought wryly, pulling his helmet over his head and engaging the seal. I won't have any trouble focusing, that's for sure. Din ventured out of his rooms and set off in the direction of the far lift, aimed for the throne room. Part of Din wanted Fett to be holding court, so that Din could slip in and watch the court without drawing too much attention to himself. And part of him wanted Fett's attention. Wanted Fett to see how well Din had recovered, how well he was bearing up. Another dangerous thought. Din pushed that away, too. Today, he decided, would be about enjoying the focus brought by his bruises. Tomorrow, he could confront the confused tangle of thoughts and feelings. Din climbed into the lift, turning his thoughts around and around in his head. He was going to have to sit with himself for a while and examine things. His thoughts, his feelings, the terrifying trust he'd placed in Fett. But, hopefully, Fett would have more work, and Din could push thinking about the consequences off for another few days yet. He rolled his shoulders again, Beskar clinking, just to feel the burn. Maybe a week if I'm careful with the Bacta, Din thought, pleased. A faint, tinny chirp pulled Din out of his thoughts. He blinked. His comm hadn't gone off in so long he'd nearly forgotten that he'd carried one. He looked down at it. The display was flashing red. Someone was calling him. Who? The only beings that had Din's comm code were Kreez, Koska Reeves, Kara, and Fett. Din's comm chirped again. He sighed, his prospects for the week rapidly dwindling. I guess it wasn't going to last, he thought, unhooking his comm from his belt. Kreez was always going to land on her feet sooner or later. She must have figured a new strategy out. Din thumbed the comm and the display crackled, an image wavering before the hollow display managed to resolve itself. Din nearly dropped his comm in surprise. The Jedi from the light cruiser's face pulled together, young and solemn. He was wearing the same hooded cloak. His brows were drawn together, forehead puckered in concern. Luke Skywalker. When the Jedi saw Din's helmet, his expression relaxed just a little. Oh, good, said the Jedi, voice made almost metallic by the comlink. I found you. How'd you get this comm code? Din asked, surprise making him sharper than he'd meant to be. He hadn't given the Jedi any of his information, not his name or his comm code or even a location. Din had honestly not expected to see the Jedi again, at least not for several years. It's supposed to be encrypted. If Din had an encryption failure, he'd need to warn the others. I asked Cara Dune, said the Jedi. You know Cara? Din supposed that made sense. Cara had known the Jedi's name. They had served together, she'd said, though she'd been a drop trooper far beneath the ranks of the pilots, and Luke Skywalker had apparently been the best pilot in the rebellion. She knows me, said Skywalker. The connection flickered. What do you need? Din asked. He couldn't think of any other reason why the Jedi would go to the trouble of finding Din's comm code. His heart dropped. Is it the kid? Is he okay? Did something happen? The Jedi's face flickered again. Yes, he said. There's a problem.